Welcome to the Heal, Nourish, Grow podcast. I'm Cheryl McColgan, founder of Heal, Nourish, Grow. The website, this show, and our newsletter all focus on making the science of advanced nutrition and greater overall health accessible to everyone. Buckle up for our latest episode to get ideas, tools, and practical knowledge you can use to improve your health and move towards your perfect version of ultimate wellness. The Heal, Nourish, Grow podcast shares interviews with nutrition experts, health researchers, and everyday people that have changed their lifestyle and nutrition to support greater health. You'll learn how to implement lasting change and create new habits that support greater wellness and a happier, healthier life. Please visit healnourishgrowpodcast.com for full show notes and links to our guests.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Heal, Nourish, Grow podcast. Let me apologize in advance if the audio isn't as good as usual. I am traveling and I did not bring my portable mic. So, but I just really wanted to do an update and kind of keep the ball rolling. So if you were in my last update, which I'm not sure what episode or how long ago that was at this point, but I just talked about my struggle with the break from the podcast, and I wasn't sure how it's going to look going forward. I am committed to it. It has been mostly weekly, as always intended, with occasionally a week or two that I have missed there in between. But the plan from here going forward until the next time you hear me with an update is to have out weekly podcasts. And in that vein, I haven't done an update in a very long time, so I thought I would just share that with you here. So this will be a little bit about my personal health and wellness and what's been going on over the last several months, but more about just kind of a life update. So if that does not interest you, just wait and tune in for the next podcast where I interview my next amazing guest. But for today, I'll just share with you what's so. After getting back into the podcast, you might know that we had moved out to Utah from Cincinnati. We did that in December of 2022 and really enjoyed being out here. Had the most amazing snowboard season, and it was the most snow ever, basically, in a season out here in the Wasatch. And so that was amazing. We had tons of powder days. We got out every time that it snowed more than 8 inches, pretty much. We were out there. We got to be very much powder snuffs. If it was just a regular groomer day, we really weren't going to the mountains. So that was all very fun. And then spent the summer here. And then towards the fall, being out here, obviously, we didn't really know anybody. Having been during snowboard season, we really focused on that. We weren't super focused on meeting a bunch of people. And then through the summer, we had several times where we were back and forth to Cincinnati quite a bit. And, you know, we just didn't have a whole lot of time to really focus on, you know, creating a new community out here in Utah. And that was part of what I'm going to say next. But we also had just debated back and forth. Had we made the right decision? We missed our friends. You know, my husband's business is still primarily based in Cincinnati, even though he can work from anywhere. And we were having to go, you know, still back and forth quite a bit to Cincinnati. And travel, as you know, is not inexpensive these days. All of these were factors. We started to think more and more about that. Meanwhile, I was getting back into what I used to do, which was events. And, you know, obviously during the pandemic, that whole thing took a big break, but now that is gone and events are back in full swing. Which, by the way, that being said, I am still looking for either some contract work or project work, or possibly if even a full-time position, if that was the right thing, in the events industry. So if you happen to know of anyone, definitely get in touch. Somebody that might be looking for something like that, especially if it's in the tech industry. That's really my main experience with events, although I've done all different kinds of them. Then about October, I was working on an event that was taking place in DC. And so we went back to Cincinnati for a few days. My husband also had a meeting there. And so I spent some time in Cincinnati with friends before I went to my event in October. Well, while we were there, we were just kind of, you know, we'd seen all of our friends almost every night in a row for days. But it was on a Sunday. And it was kind of like just a little bit of downtime before I left to go to DC on Monday. And so we went to some open houses, which we weren't really intending to do anything at that point. But like I said, it's something that we had been talking about. Like, did we want to make it through one more snowboard season here and then decide? Did we want to maybe wait and put our house here in Utah on the market this spring, which now we're into May. So here it is. It's fully spring of 2024, but this was in October of 2023. And so several months ago, we went to these open houses and we ended up seeing a house that very much spoke to my husband. It's a beautiful house. I have no complaints. But it was definitely something that he was really interested in. And he was afraid because of the amount of people we saw going through the house and the price had just been reduced. He was afraid that we might lose it. And he really was very interested. So he thought, let's put in an offer on it and, you know, maybe go through the inspections. And, you know, because you usually have a few days in a contract, that initial part of the contract, whether it's accepted or not, first of all. And then during the inspection period, once you have an inspection, if there's anything wrong, obviously you don't have to move forward with the contract. So he just thought, well, let's maybe start the process, put in an offer, see what happens, even though we were in no way ready or prepared or really had thought this through very fully. So we made the offer, it got accepted. And so then we were kind of moving forward in the process. You know, first of all, you have to negotiate the price and all those sort of things before you even get into the part where you do inspections. So that took a little bit of time. And then during that time frame, while we were under contract, we went, my husband had a work event that was a kind of something that they do for some of the really great producers in their company. And he had won that trip. So we were going out to Arizona to enjoy some time prior to his meetings. And he had a couple meetings on Monday and Tuesday in Scottsdale. So that was the beginning of November. And we were so excited to get to go back to Sedona. It's so beautiful there. We love it. And if you'll think way back to our Vagabond tour when we sold our way back first house in Cincinnati, that's a few summers ago now. We were on the Vagabond tour. We spent a month in Sedona in a VRBO when we were kind of temporarily homeless. And we just were so excited to get back to Sedona. So meanwhile, the house thing is kind of moving forward. I can't remember at this point. I think we had just gotten into the point where we needed to start doing the inspection so we could see if the house was in good shape. Were we going to move forward with this? So that was still kind of all very up in the air. So we're in Sedona, and as we normally do, anywhere we're visiting, we love being outdoors, love going on big hikes. But for some reason, this weekend, we just gotten there on Friday, and then we had to head back to Phoenix on Sunday. So we weren't there for a very long amount of time, but, you know, we had planned on doing a couple hikes, and for whatever reason, we just decided we weren't doing any big hikes. And one of the things was, over the summer hiking in Utah, my husband had been saying a few times, like, he would keep getting heartburn while he was hiking. And so we didn't think too much of it. Like, he was still able to do it, just had to slow down, take more breaks. But this is important because it'll kind of click in a little bit, like how to think of this in the future when I get through kind of the rest of the update and the rest of the story. So let's see. So we're in Sedona. Did some hikes, but nothing serious, mostly flat, very chill hikes, and just tried to relax. This was also been a very stressful time leading up to this. I went and did this big event in DC. We had just been in Cincinnati visiting friends, and here we are traveling again. So we were both kind of exhausted. So we thought, okay, maybe we just need to like take it easy and relax a little bit more. So we did some, you know, simple flat hikes, still enjoyed the beauty of Sedona, went to the vortexes, went to our favorite places to eat, all that kind of good stuff. And Sunday, before we were going to go back up to Phoenix, Peter woke up and we had done this hiking. So I was like, yeah, I have this weird pain under kind of under my arm, under my rib. I'm like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, do you remember picking up anything strange yesterday? Or do you think you did it? Maybe we were getting the luggage out of the car or something. He's like, no, it just kind of was kind of sudden. But then it went away. And so we went up to Phoenix, went to this beautiful resort, Scottsdale Princess, if you happen to be familiar with it, that his company was in. And the reason I say it's such a beautiful resort is I was like, oh, it's so fun to get to enjoy a place like that. Because when we travel, we're not usually, you know, when we're paying it for ourselves, we're not going to Scottsdale Princess for the most part. We're going to, especially on snowboard trips, we're usually doing a combination of we'll do kind of a couple nights that might be a treat in a kind of a nicer place, but we're mostly, you know, trying to keep costs down, and we're never in the room. So we always feel like we're just sleeping there. So we don't want to do that. But we thought, oh, this would be kind of cool because we'll actually just get to enjoy the resort a little bit. And so we got there, we checked in, went to the event the first night. It was very cool. It's like, it's a nice outdoor setting, lots of great food. and cocktail hour sort of thing, and, you know, had a nice night. And then I was really excited the next day. You know, he had some meetings and stuff. I was going to go on a big hike in Scottsdale. I used to live out there a long time ago, and so I'm very familiar with the area. So I was just looking forward to enjoying all of that. Well, Monday morning, we woke up and Peter was having that pain again. And he said, you know, this is pretty bad. Sleep is probably one of the most underrated components of not only health and wellness, but also of weight loss. If you're not sleeping well, nothing else is going well. And when I first started having perimenopausal symptoms a couple of years ago, I was getting the worst night sweats, and it was affecting my sleep so much. I would wake up in the middle of the night, the sheets were drenched, I'd fluff, it would keep me awake. It was just miserable. And that's when I first started searching for some kind of solution of sleeping better and longer and cooler overall. And what I found was sleep.me. So this device, and it goes back, I have an older version. They now have the chili pad technology. But basically what it is a cover that goes over your existing mattress. So you don't have to buy a new mattress, which you can get some pretty amazing technology in new mattresses these days that'll do similar things, but it is literally thousands and thousands of dollars more than this sleep.me technology. So it's simply a pad that you put on your bed. It is attached to a unit and water runs through little pipes, and this sounds so weird, but you can't feel it at all under your back. And it either will cool you down or it will actually also heat the bed. So whether you're a hot sleeper or a cool sleeper, this technology can help you so much. One of my favorite little functions about it is that I can tell it every night before bed to set the bed at a cool temperature. I'm personally at a 64. That might be a little too cold for you if you're not a night sweat person. But you can set it to whatever temperature you like. And then you can also tell it to start gently warming up in the morning so that you wake up very naturally by warming up. There's actually a great Huberman podcast recently that talks all about all the details of sleep, but one of the ones that he mentioned specifically, the sleep expert, was regulating body temperature at night and how much effect that has on your sleep. So if you'd like to check out their technology, simply go to my link. It's healnourishgrow.com/sleepme. That's SLEEPME. And that will take you to their website. You'll learn all about the unit. You'll get an awesome 10% off when you choose to use my link. And as always, thanks for supporting the podcast, and I hope that you really enjoy this technology because it has vastly changed how well I sleep at night. And I said, well, I think we should go to the emergency room because it's been 2 days in a row and this is worrying me. And he agreed, and he's not a complainer at all. And I knew that, you know, not a hypochondriac, nothing like that. He would not even think about going to the hospital unless it was very serious. And so thankfully, we were right next to the Mayo Clinic. We were a mile and a half away. So I just drove him there. And I was very familiar with where this is because if you've ever read any of my personal health history and kind of how I got even more deeply into the health and wellness space is because I had a situation. I need to look this up sometime, but it's probably been about 12 to 15 years ago now, but I had it's a long story. Maybe I can't remember if I've done this on any of the podcasts. Maybe I'll do that sometime. But the short version is I ended up in the Mayo Clinic because they thought I had cancer. And thankfully, I did not. It was all benign. But my doctor in Cincinnati, it looked very serious. And just all of the factors that had gone into the situation leading up to this, they recommended that I go to the Mayo Clinic and go to a gynecological oncologist there. And so I had been in that hospital before myself and knew exactly where it was because it was also during the same time frame that I still had a house out there with my ex. And so so it was also convenient in that respect. Since I had to go to the Mayo, we had somewhere to stay while we were out there and that sort of thing. So all that being said, I'll get to the point here. So we went to the Mayo emergency room and they were kind of confused by the pain under the arm thing, but they took it very seriously from the get-go. But they thought, well, that doesn't really sound like a heart attack, but we'll just do the basic, like, you know, EKG or whatever. Meanwhile, while they're taking the history, I said, honey, did you tell them about your heartburn? And they're kind of like thinking, heartburn, what are you talking about? And Peter would say, oh, I kept, you know, I have heartburn. Like every time we go on a hike, I've been having this heartburn. And they said, but you don't have it, you know, like after you eat or when you're going to bed or anything like that. And he said, no. And then, so we started talking about deeper, and I had never really probed him on this that much before either, but it was more like heart pain, not heartburn. It would be like the center of his chest would feel, you know, tight and kind of a burning sensation while he's walking. When he said heartburn, I've had acid reflux in the past. Thankfully, since I've changed my diet, I haven't really had an issue with that. But it was actually like pain in his heart. So then once they heard about that, and this had been going on for months, and he was getting this kind of pain on exertion, they dug deeper. And he ended up having an angiogram. And what they found there was very concerning. He had at least 3 blockages that were almost 90% blocked. And because of the number and the severity of his blockages, he had to get an open heart surgery as opposed to stents or any other kind of intervention. And thankfully, though, we caught this in time. Whatever this pain he was having was completely coincidental or a little bit of pain somehow in the heart unrelated, but no heart attack. So that was a miracle and such a blessing because his heart muscle is in very good condition. It's just the arteries were blocked. And so he had open heart surgery while we were away in Scottsdale. Ended up having to stay there for like 2 weeks, had to get a VRBO, stay in town, deal with all this. We weren't really sure when we were going to be cleared to go back home or any of these things. So we ended up staying there, like I said, for those 2 weeks we got cleared. We came back to Utah. And how this is all related to the house situation is because this entire time, and he ended up being in the hospital for, isn't there for maybe 2 days before they could do this, from the time he got admitted to the emergency room or got admitted to the hospital from the emergency room. I believe that was on a Monday. And then it was, they had to keep him in there the whole time because they were kind of worried. They were getting things under control. They had to do the angiogram, which took some time. I can't remember if they did that on Tuesday or on Wednesday, but then he ended up having surgery on Thursday. And then he was in the hospital for several days after that. So I think it was a total of 10 days in the hospital. And during this whole time, these 10 days that he's in the hospital, we're having inspections on this house and getting the results and needing to make a decision on whether we were going to go through with purchasing this house in Cincinnati or not. And so it was pretty interesting because, you know, obviously part of the decision making at the time was we didn't know what the outcome of the surgery was going to be, didn't know how recovery would be, any of those things. And so part of my thinking certainly during this time frame was that it would probably be best for him to be back with family and friends, regardless of how the recovery went, like good, bad, easy, hard, long, short. It didn't really matter, because then obviously going forward from that, if you'll read things about open heart surgery, there's a high chance for depression with it. There's a lot of things that can happen. You can have personality changes. There's just a lot of factors that you're not sure, you know, what life will really look like going forward after something like that. So to me, it made a lot of sense being back with family and friends. And so we went through with the purchase of the house. And so almost, I think it was a year to the day later. And this is actually much how we made the decision with the Utah situation. Is not a whole lot of thought. It just kind of happened, is what I like to say. But almost a year to the day, from December to December 4th, 2022, I believe was when we closed on the Utah house. And it was December 4th or 5th, 2023, that we closed on the Cincinnati house. And so then it has been quite the whirlwind since then. We had all of our storage had been in, or all of our things had been in storage in Cincinnati. So when we finally bought a house in Utah, we pretty much had to move everything here because we didn't even know what all was in there. There was no way to go through it. There was no place in Cincinnati where we could just like go through things, sell things. It was all like on a storage pallet in Cincinnati. So it pretty much just had to come to Utah. So all of our stuff came here. And for the most part, you know, obviously our clothes and stuff, whatever, we needed that thing. But like most of the furniture and things that we had in Cincinnati just did not really fit in this house. This house was Utah smaller. There was enough space. So yeah, so nothing ever really fit that well, but we had never like done much with it I tried to put a few things up for sale, but they hadn't gone, and we weren't too worried about it because we weren't having a bunch of parties or friends or anything here. Like I said, not doing entertaining like we used to do back home. So then when it came time, when we bought the house again in Cincinnati, we moved all the stuff from here back to Cincinnati since it never fit here to start with. So that was kind of crazy, moving an entire house twice in a 1 year time frame. So kind of stressful. So that has all been going on in the background here for the last 6 months. And part of the reason that the podcast has not been on the spot necessarily every single week, week after week coming out. It's only me that does all this. Anyway, back to moving back to Cincinnati. So we weren't really sure at that time what our plan would be. The house in Utah, we'd have to do long-term rentals only. There's no ability to VRBO it just because of the city that we live in. There's some specifics on the amount of people that can do kind of a short-term rental situation. And we really just weren't sure due to the nature of the house if renting it out is the best thing, and if we could even rent it out for the amount that we're paying and mortgage every month. So that was a question mark, and we also weren't sure. Thankfully, Peter's recovery went amazingly well. He did so good. He was so focused on doing what he's supposed to do every day after the surgery, which is basically just walking and increasing that amount every day after the surgery. And he did so well and recovered so well. And he said this was his goal from the beginning, that he was going to be snowboarding in February. That was his goal. And so sure enough, we snowboarded for the first time at the end of January and actually ended up, and this was a big question mark in our minds, if this was a good idea or we'd even be able to do this. But I had booked a trip probably 9 months prior to that to go to the Italian Dolomites for the first time at the end of January and to snowboard over there.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. We'd also love it if you could post a review on iTunes. It helps us so much by allowing others to more easily find us. The Heal, Nourish, Grow podcast wouldn't be possible without listeners like you. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to the show.
And Peter was well enough and he was feeling well enough to travel and wanted to do it. And so we did it, which was kind of crazy. And then we ended up spending through the end of March out in Utah in the house here, just snowboarding and still enjoying it since we still had it. And he was well enough to do all that and wanted to do that. And it was another amazing season, had so much snow, another amazing year out here in the Wasatch, and had so many good powder days, and he was strong enough to do it and felt good doing it. All that was just such a blessing. And so then he's had the same assistant at his work for probably 25 years, maybe even close to 30. It was a long, long time, but she retired. And so that was at the end of March. So we needed to go back to the house in Cincinnati. So I forgot to mention one little part of that is when we were doing this stuff with the house, we hadn't told any of our friends we were thinking about this because we just didn't know if we were really going to move back, if this house sale was going to go through. We don't want to, not that anybody's really thinking about it, but don't want to get anybody's hopes up kind of thing, and or just have us get our hopes up and having talked about it and stuff and have it not happen. So we hadn't told any of our friends. So what I did was we got all this going, moved all this stuff, doing this all while Peter is still just recovering from this surgery. But managed to get our movers here, moving truck back to Cincinnati, get things unpacked within about 2 or 3 days, which was also very crazy. My body was completely exhausted and I could hardly move. And then the following weekend, had a little party at our house. And we just told people, we found a place to rent, or I wanted to have a holiday party and a welcome, Peter's recovery is going well kind of party, and then just get together with our friends because all of this had happened, which totally made sense. I said I was going to find a venue in town and just rent something while we were here. And people knew that we'd been staying at a VRBO, not unbeknownst to them, just for a couple days before we closed on the house and were able to get in there. So this is just such a crazy thing. But then we ended up having a little party for our friends, and just I saved the address until like maybe 2 days before something, put it in, just said, hey, this is the venue where I was able to find to do it. And yeah, then everybody came and they were like, yeah, we bought this house here, so I guess we're moving back. So it was just kind of a funny little thing that we did. But then we just basically stayed there. That was, we closed on the house like December, like I said, around the 4th or something, got all of our furniture and stuff. Maybe a few days after that, had the party the following weekend, and then it was Christmas, and then we came back to Utah. So it has been just quite a crazy thing. And yeah, and if you look in the back, you might be able to tell that I'm in Utah, because if you are watching this on video and not on audio, there's a little snow on our roof here.
If you've been around my content for a while, you know that one of my favorite things is making and eating gourmet food and pairing it with wine. You might think you can't enjoy wine, though, while trying to lose weight or stay in ketosis. And if you're drinking traditional wine, you might be right. So many wines are mass-produced and full of sugar and other garbage additives that can wreak havoc on your health goals and just make you feel bad. Fortunately, I discovered Dry Farm Wines. I've been drinking their wine for years now, and I love this company. They individually test small batch wines produced by vintners that are committed to the practice of dry farm production. Some of my favorites have been the Blaufränkisch variety from Austria and all of the wines from the Loire Valley in France. Dry Farm wines are free from excess sulfites and mold that can cause adverse reactions and hangovers. With no added sugar, each wine is tested to be under 1 gram of sugar in the entire bottle. Yep, you just heard that right. There's less than 1 carb in the whole bottle of wine. They're also slightly lower alcohol, which means you can enjoy a delicious wine pairing at dinner any given night and not end up with a hangover. You can receive an extra bottle for just a penny with your first order by visiting dryfarmwines.com/healnourishgrow. I'd love to hear what your favorite wine is after you try it, and be sure to tag me on social with pictures of your wine and delicious dinners. Again, that bottle of wine for a penny is at dryfarmwines.com/healnourishgrow.
So we've been back in Cincinnati for several weeks, but my sister was getting married out in Denver, and so we came out for the wedding and then wanted to, while we're already that far out west, we just took a little short flight back to Utah so that we could check on the house, figure out what we're doing here. I think we are definitely listing it for sale, and so need to meet with the realtors while we're here. So we're just here for a couple days, and like by another like crazy Utah season miracle, they had a late season snow. And so yesterday we were on the mountain snowboarding in 20 feet of fresh pow. And it was on a Monday, and all the tourists are gone. And so it was a locals day, and there was nobody there. And it was absolutely fantastic. So, like, what a way to cap off our little adventure here in Utah. And that's not to say we'll never be back, but if we, you know, when we come out here in the future in the winter, it'll just be a rental situation. And, you know, unless, of course, the house doesn't sell or something, I guess, you know, maybe we could be here next season. But that is the update. I don't think I left anything out, but it's possible that I did, because it has been quite a crazy time. So, health updates. So that was the part of the health updates, part of my health update that I'll share with you. And then I'm going to do a full podcast on at some point, but, I started, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I've definitely talked about it on my social media and Instagram, which if you never, I don't know if you're on Instagram or not, but that is pretty much, you know, that has been out of favor with me lately too. I still go on there daily for some stories, but not nearly as much as I had in the past. Really having quite like a crisis of my business and what's going to happen with Heal Nourish Grow going forward. But that is usually where I check in daily for little updates, kind of what I'm doing, what I'm cooking, health stuff, any wellness tips, all that good stuff. But so I finally, you know, I've lived it on and off my whole life. The first time I can remember doing it consistently, I was in the 8th grade. I was on the basketball team, and I had a weight bench in my garage. And so I was doing that during basketball season to try to get stronger. And so I, you know, even though that was back in the day where not a lot of women necessarily lifted, or it wasn't as common, especially for high school athletes that were women, to be doing that stuff. You know, I've mentioned my dad in the past. This was just a big influence for my dad. I grew up around that. He always had, you know, he was a runner. He had always been into fitness, lifting weights, all that stuff. So it was always in my head that that was obviously a good thing to do for your health. And it never occurred to me that because I was a girl, I shouldn't be doing that. But that was my first consistent thing with lifting. And so fast forward, you know, many, many, many years now, obviously. But I've done it on and off my whole life, but never consistently. I've always had some point where I have something get in the way or I get injured. And then instead of doing what I can or modifying, I just kind of take time off, and then it turns into be a very extended time off. So, but this time I started lifting in June or July. I have to look this up, but I think it was actually the end of June of 2023. And we are now in May 2024. So it's been like, oh my gosh, well, it's going to be a year here soon. But 10 months at this point of lifting. Well, during this time, I got a DEXA scan in right at the beginning of this journey sometime last summer. And then I've gotten two more follow-ups, and I have another one on Thursday of this week. So that's going to show me my progress from last summer to now of lifting. And I'm not going to do a spoiler alert. I will do that all in a future episode where I share kind of what has happened, what I've been doing, what my diet looked like, how many times a week I'm lifting, what I'm doing, all the things. But just to say that I have stayed consistent with it. So that's my health update and feeling pretty good. Tired. I feel like that's something that everybody says all the time. I feel like that shouldn't be a thing. But even when I'm sleeping well, I still feel like I'm kind of noticing more tiredness, and I haven't been able to figure out to attribute that into anything. So anyway, that's just something I'll continue to work on and continue to monitor. But yeah, I think that's kind of all the things I wanted to say as far as an update and as far as tell you what's going on in my life and why the podcast is not as regular. And if anybody has any ideas, as usual, about content, things you'd like to hear more about, any ideas about how you feel, like, I mean, what's going on in the online world? What are people attracted to? I still go back to the YouTube thing where I think I've said that several times on the podcast now, where I think I should maybe do more YouTube kind of content. So if you agree or you have thoughts on any of that, please get in touch, because I'm always open to kind of hearing what people are looking for and what people would appreciate and what would help you in your life have more health and wellness. And that's how this all started. I just love sharing my journey and sharing things that I feel like will help other people, as far as the keto, as far as the low carb, as far as the way that all that affects your health and your life. And there's certainly plenty of that content out there, and certainly plenty of it that is far better than my content, to be quite honest. But I just think, you know, people connect with whoever they connect with for all kinds of reasons. And often, you know, I even noticed this in interviews. I've interviewed a few people that very famous podcasters have interviewed, and you know, all the interviews are different. They all kind of have a different focus, and they bring out different things. It's like some question that I ask might prompt the guest to talk about something they haven't talked about before, or talk about it in a different way where people understand it better. So even though there's a lot of content out there, I feel like they all have something a little different to offer. And so that's why sometimes I just feel like I still have this desire to do that. And I love getting to talk to really smart people. It helps me, and I know it helps others by hearing the same kinds of health and wellness information. In fact, I've got the one that I had last week about the sauna. It was really great. I've been wanting a sauna for years and years and years, and was finally able to do that due to this new house in Cincinnati. I can't remember if we really talked about that on the podcast, but that was really the way I was finally able to get a sunlight and sauna into my house, was because I finally had a space for it. And so that was really exciting. And I do want to say that that has been such a blessing. One of the things that I've definitely noticed is whenever I use sauna is that my heart rate variability is way better. And that's actually somebody that I have on the slate to interview, is somebody who is an expert and kind of has a strong focus on heart rate variability. So that's something that you'll hear more about in the future on the podcast, is what is heart rate variability? Why do you need to be concerned about it? Why is it better if it's higher? All those kind of things. So you'll learn more about that soon. So I won't say too much more about that. But that is one thing I have observed in using the sauna on a regular basis, is that my heart rate variability is getting better. So so I think I'll cap it off there. I'm just sitting at the upstairs spot in the house in Utah and observing just all this beauty out here around me. I can see the mountains from the window. There's some blue sky today now that the storm has kind of mostly gone through. And it will definitely affect me to leave this behind. But everything in life is a trade-off. It is all good problems to have. I am very happy to be back with my friends in Cincinnati. So I just need to focus on all of that and not focus on what you leave behind. It's like, enjoy what you are in the moment and make that be your primary focus and a source of happiness. Like, find all the good things. Like, because even though there's all the good things here in Utah that I loved, and being in the mountains is just, it's my soul, it's my heart, I love it. And I will miss that deeply, but there were negatives here too, right? A lot of our friends aren't here. The summers are really, really hot and they're in Cincinnati too, but in Cincinnati we have a pool and so we can combat that. So there's just so many things to be thankful for and to focus on. The very first and foremost thing, that Peter is healthy and that we caught this before he had a heart attack, and that his, you know, his outlook is good. He's doing super well. And so that is the most important thing in being back with friends and family. Obviously, that will be more support, that will make him stronger, that will just all work in our favor. So that's what I'm doing, is always trying to focus on the positive and find the silver lining in any situation. So anyway, if you have any comments, questions, all that good stuff, if you're watching this on YouTube, put it in the comments below. If you are listening to this online, another way to make comments is to, just share something that you learned on social media. Tag me if you happen to post it. You can rate the podcast. If you go to iTunes and just rate it, that's one of the best things you can do to support this podcast, because people only find it if it's popular. It's the whole algorithm thing again, right? It's hard to find, new and different things when, over the years, more and more and more, and the most recent Google algorithm shows us, by the way, don't use Google, use something else, use Bing, use DuckDuckGo, use anything besides Google. Like, what they're doing right now is really killing small publishers. And if you start noticing, like, if you go into look for certain keto recipes now online, if you Google it, it's like mostly only the biggest sites come up now, the most popular sites. Like, the smaller publishers, we're all buried like pages down, where I used to be able to rank for the first page because I was very focused on writing it properly and doing all the things over the years that Google has told us to do to have good visible content. I had always done that and done that well, and was able to finally be seen by some people. It was great. And now that is just all this latest one was a doozy, friends. I'm telling you, it was quite awful. It has affected things a lot. So if you're wondering where all your small publishers are going when you do searches now, that is a big part of it. This is the most recent update, and it's kind of there's a lot of tech reasons. I mean, they're trying to combat spam on the internet, which I think is a very good goal, obviously, but it had some unintended consequences, unfortunately. So anyway, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day wherever you are. And like I said, get in touch, rate the podcast, make comments on the YouTube video if you're watching on YouTube, because I'd just love to hear your thoughts and your feedback. So take care, and I will talk to you next time.
This has been the Heal, Nourish, Grow podcast. Again, I'm Cheryl McColgan, founder of Heal, Nourish, Grow. You can find show notes for this episode at healnourishgrowpodcast.com. If you have feedback on today's episode or questions about the content, please email us at podcast@healnourishgrow.com. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to sign up for our email list at healnourishgrow.com and subscribe to the show with your favorite podcast player so you never miss an episode. Join us next time for more information that helps you live your best and healthiest life. Thanks for listening. Content on the Heal, Nourish, Grow podcast does not constitute medical advice. Content contained in the Heal, Nourish, Grow podcast is not intended as medical diagnosis or treatment. Neither the company nor its owner, Heal, Nourish, Grow, LLC, nor any of the company's employees, agents, or guest speakers provide medical advice. The content provided on Heal, Nourish, Grow podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your medical provider with any questions about what health practices are right for you.